ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from Bhagavad Gita as it is, by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. We are reading from the introduction, and we are starting from when we are materially contaminated, or a little further. The complete whole, the personality of Godhead. Okay. It is also explained in the Gita, from there? Or people... Where do I start? The complete whole personality of Godhead has immense potencies. Parasha Shaktir Vividheva Shruyate. How Krishna is acting in different potencies is also explained in Bhagavad Gita. This phenomenal world or material world in which we are placed is also complete in itself, because the 24 elements of which this material universe is a temporary manifestation, according to Sankhya philosophy, are completely adjusted to produce complete resources which are necessary for the maintenance and sustenance of this universe. So till what? How far do we read? Up to happy. That sounds good. Too happy. Okay. Yeah, I got it. Okay. Om Agyana Timarandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chakshur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So it's a little bit unusual, because usually you read from a verse, so I'm a little bit off beat. So please excuse me. But we'll see how it goes. So I'll just read it again. The complete whole personality of Godhead has immense potencies. Parasya Shakti Vividesa Sriyate. How Krishna is acting in different potencies is also explained in Bhagavad Gita. This phenomenal world or material world in which we are placed is also complete in itself, because the 24 elements of which this material universe is a temporary manifestation, according to Sankhya philosophy, are completely adjusted to produce complete resources which are necessary for the maintenance and subsistence of this universe. There is nothing extraneous, nor is there anything needed. This manifestation has its own time fixed by the energy of the Supreme Whole. And when its time is complete, these temporary manifestations will be annihilated by the complete arrangement of the complete. There is complete facility for the small complete units, namely the living entities, to realize the complete, and all sorts of incompleteness are experienced due to incomplete knowledge of the complete. So, Bhagavad Gita contains the complete knowledge of Vedic wisdom. All Vedic knowledge is infallible, and Hindus accept Vedic knowledge to be complete and infallible. For example, cow dung is the stool of an animal, and according to Smriti, or Vedic injunction, if one touches the stool of an animal, he has to take a bath to purify himself. But in the Vedic scriptures, cow dung is considered to be a purifying agent. One might consider this to be contradictory, but it is accepted because it is Vedic injunction. And indeed, by accepting this, one will not commit a mistake. Subsequently, it has been proved by modern science that cow dung contains all antiseptic properties. So, Vedic knowledge is complete because it is above all doubts and mistakes, and Bhagavad Gita is the essence of all Vedic knowledge. Vedic knowledge is not a question of research. Our research work is imperfect because we are researching things with imperfect senses. We have to accept perfect knowledge, which comes down, as is stated in Bhagavad Gita, by the parampara, the disciplic succession. We have to receive knowledge from the proper source in disciplic succession, beginning with the Supreme Spiritual Master, the Lord Himself, and handed down to a succession of spiritual masters. Arjuna, the student who took lessons from Lord Sri Krishna, accepts everything that he says without contradicting him. One is not allowed to accept one portion of Bhagavad Gita and not another. No, we must accept Bhagavad Gita without interpretation, without deletion, and without our own whimsical participation in the matter. The Gita should be taken as the most perfect presentation of Vedic knowledge. Vedic knowledge is received from transcendental sources, and the first words were spoken by the Lord Himself. The words spoken by the Lord are called aparosheya, meaning that they are different from words spoken by a person of the mundane world who is infected with four defects. A mundaner, 1, is sure to commit mistakes, 2, is invariably illusioned, 3, has the tendency to cheat others, and 4, is limited by imperfect senses. With these four imperfections, one cannot deliver perfect information of all-pervading knowledge. Vedic knowledge is not imparted by such defective living entities. It was imparted unto the heart of Brahma, the first created living being, and Brahma in his turn disseminated this knowledge to his sons and disciples, as he originally received it from the Lord. The Lord is Purnam, all perfect, and there is no possibility of his becoming subjected to the laws of material nature. One should therefore be intelligent enough to know that the Lord is the only proprietor of everything in the universe, and that he is the original creator, the creator of Brahma. In the 11th chapter, the Lord is addressed as Prapitamaha, because Brahma is addressed as Pitamaha, the grandfather, and he is the creator of the grandfather. So, no one should claim to be the proprietor of anything. One should accept only things which are set aside for him by the Lord as his quota for his maintenance. There are many examples given of how we are to utilize those things which are set aside for us by the Lord. This is also explained in Bhagavad Gita. In the beginning, Arjuna decided that he should not fight in the battle of Kurukshetra. This was his own decision. Arjuna told the Lord that it was not possible for him to enjoy the kingdom after killing his own kinsmen. This decision was based on the body because he was thinking that the body was himself and that his bodily relations or expansions were his brothers, nephews, brothers-in-law, grandfathers, and so on. Therefore, he wanted to satisfy his bodily demands. Bhagavad Gita was spoken by the Lord just to change this view. And at the end, Arjuna decides to fight under the directions of the Lord when he says, Karishye vachanam tava, I shall act according to your word. In this world, men are not meant for quarreling like cats and dogs. Man must be intelligent to realize the importance of human life and refuse to act like ordinary animals. A human being should realize the aim of his life, and this direction is given in all Vedic literatures. And the essence is given in Bhagavad Gita. Vedic literature is meant for human beings, not for animals. Animals can kill other living animals, and there is no question of sin on their part. But if a man kills an animal for the satisfaction of his uncontrolled taste, he must be responsible for breaking the laws of nature. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is clearly explained that there are three kinds of activities according to the different modes of nature: the activities of goodness, of passion, and of ignorance. Similarly, there are three kinds of eatables, also eatables in goodness, passion, and ignorance. All of this is clearly described, and if we properly utilize the instructions of Bhagavad Gita, then our whole life will become purified, and ultimately we will be able to reach the destination which is beyond this material sky. Yat gatva na nivartante tat dhamma paramang mama. That destination is called the Sanatan sky, the eternal spiritual sky. In this material world, we find that everything is temporary. It comes into being, stays for some time, produces some byproducts, dwindles, and then vanishes. That is the law of the material world, whether we use as an example this body, or a piece of fruit, or anything. But beyond this temporary world, there is another world of which we have information. That world consists of another nature, which is Sanatana, eternal. Jiva is also described as Sanatana, eternal, and the Lord is also described as Sanatana in the 11th chapter. We have an intimate relationship with the Lord, and because we are qualitatively one, the Sanatana Dham, or sky, the Sanatana Supreme Personality, and the Sanatana Living Entities, the whole purpose of Bhagavad Gita is to revive our Sanatana occupation, or Sanatana Dharma, which is the eternal occupation of the living entity. We are temporarily engaged in different activities, but all of these activities can be purified when we give up all these temporary activities and take up the activities which are prescribed by the Supreme Lord. That is called our pure life. The Supreme Lord and His transcendental abode are both Sanatana, as are the living entities, and the combined association of the Supreme Lord and the living entities in the Sanatana abode is the perfection of human life. The Lord is very kind to the living entities because they are His sons. Lord Krishna declares in Bhagavad Gita, Sarva Yonishu Ahang Bija Pradhapita, I am the father of all. Of course, there are all types of living entities according to their various karmas, but here the Lord claims that He is the father of all of them. Therefore, the Lord descends to reclaim all of these fallen, conditioned souls, to call them back to the Sanatana eternal sky, so that the Sanatana living entities may regain their eternal Sanatana positions in eternal association with the Lord. The Lord comes Himself in different incarnations, or He sends His confidential servants as sons or His associates or acharyas to reclaim the conditioned souls. Can you follow this? You speak French, right? Do you have a French Bhagavad Gita for this man? Oh. Yeah, the French, they have a very special way of translating. Sometimes they put verses together that Prabhupada didn't put together. Now that sometimes they leave out things of the purport. Therefore Sanatana Dharma. That's where we are. You got it? Okay. Oh, now you find it in French. Yeah, so therefore, Sanatana Dharma, my apologies for that, I thought you were already up to speed. What's your name? What's his name? Philippe. Ah, excusez-moi, hein? Je pense que vous lisez le Bhagavad Gita français. Okay. Therefore, Sanatana Dharma does not refer to any sectarian process of religion. It is the eternal function of the eternal living entities in relationship with the eternal Supreme Lord. Sanatana Dharma refers, as stated previously, to the eternal occupation of the living entity. Sripad Ramanujacharya has explained the word Sanatana as that which has neither beginning nor end. So, when we speak of Sanatana Dharma, we must take it for granted, on the authority of Sripad Ramanujacharya, that it is neither beginning nor end. The English word religion is a little different from Sanatana Dharma. Religion conveys the idea of faith, and faith may change. One may have faith in a particular process, and he may change this faith and adopt another. But Sanatana Dharma refers to that activity which cannot be changed. For instance, liquidity cannot be taken from water, nor can heat be taken from fire. Similarly, the eternal function of the eternal living entity cannot be taken from the living entity. Sanatana Dharma is eternally integral with the living entity. When we speak of Sanatana Dharma, therefore, we must take it for granted, on the authority of Sripad Ramanujacharya, that it has neither beginning nor end. That which has neither end nor beginning must not be sectarian, for it cannot be limited by any boundaries. Those belonging to some sectarian faith will wrongly consider that Sanatana Dharma is also sectarian. But if we go deeply into the matter, And consider it in the light of modern science, it is possible for us to see that Sanatan Dharma is the business of all the people of the world, nay, of all the living entities of the universe. Non-Sanatan religious faith may have some beginning in the annals of human history, but there is no beginning to the history of Sanatan Dharma, because it remains eternally with the living entities. Insofar as the living entities are concerned, the authoritative Shastra state that the living entity is neither birth nor death. In the Gita it is stated that the living entity is never born and he never dies. He is eternal and indestructible, and he continues to live after the destruction of his temporary material body. In reference to concept of Sanatana Dharma, we must try to understand the concept of religion from the Sanskrit root meaning of the word. Dharma refers to that which is constantly existing with a particular object. We conclude that there is heat and light along with the fire. Without heat and light, there is no meaning to the word fire. Similarly, we must discover the essential part of the living being, that part which is his constant companion. That constant companion is his eternal quality, and that eternal quality is his eternal religion. When Sanatana Goswami asked Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu about the Swarup of every living being, the Lord replied that the Swarup, or constitutional position of the living being, is the rendering of service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If we analyze this statement of Lord Chaitanya's, we can easily see that every living being is constantly engaged in rendering service to another living being. A living being serves other living beings in various capacities. By doing so, the living entity enjoys life. The lower animals serve human beings as servants serve their master. A serves B master, B serves C master, and C serves D master, and so on. Under these circumstances, we can see that one friend serves another friend, the mother serves the son, the wife serves the husband serves the wife, and so on. If we go on searching in the spirit, it will be seen that there is no exception in the society of living beings to the activity of service. The politician presents his manifesto for the public to convince them of his capacity for service. The voters therefore give the politician their valuable votes, thinking that he will render valuable service to society. The shopkeeper serves the customer, and the artisan serves the capitalist. The capitalist serves the family, and the family serves the state in the terms of the eternal capacity of the eternal living being. In this way, we can see that no living being is exempt from rendering service to other living beings, and therefore we can safely conclude that service is the constant companion of the living being, and that rendering of service is the eternal religion of the living being. Yet, man professes to belong to a particular type of faith with reference to particular time and circumstances, and thus claims to be a Hindu, Muslim, Christian, Buddhist, or an adherent of any other sect. Such designations are non-Sanatana Dharma. A Hindu may change his faith to become a Muslim. A Muslim may change his faith to become a Hindu, or a Christian may change his faith, and so on. But in all circumstances, the change of religious faith does not affect the eternal occupation of rendering service to others. The Hindu, Muslim, or Christian, in all circumstances, is servant of someone. Thus, to profess a particular type of faith is not to profess one Sanatana Dharma. The rendering of service is Sanatana Dharma. Factually, we are related to the Supreme Lord in service. The Supreme Lord is the Supreme Enjoyer, and we living entities are his servitors. We are created for his enjoyment, and if we participate in that eternal enjoyment with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we become happy. We cannot become happy otherwise. It is not possible to be happy independently, just as no one part of the body can be happy without cooperating with the stomach. It is not possible for the living entity to be happy without rendering transcendental loving service unto the Supreme Lord. In the Bhagavad Gita, worship of different demigods or rendering service to them is not approved. It is stated in the 7th chapter, 20th verse, Kamastataya ritha jnana prapatyante nya devataha tang tang niyamang astaya prakritya niyatashvaya. Those whose intelligence has been stolen by material desires surrender unto demigods and follow the particular rules and regulations of worship according to their own natures. Here it is plainly said that those who are directed by lust worship the demigods and not the Supreme Lord Krishna. When we mention the name Krishna, we do not refer to any sectarian name. Krishna means the highest pleasure, and it is confirmed that the Supreme Lord is the reservoir or storehouse of all pleasure. We are all hankering after pleasure, Ananda Maya Abhyasat, Ananda Sutra 1.1.12. The living entities, like the Lord, are full of consciousness, and they are after happiness. The Lord is perpetually happy, and if the living entities associate with the Lord, cooperate with Him, and take part in His association, then they also become happy. Om Agyanati Manandasya Gananjana Silakya Chaksuru Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bistang Stapitang Yena Bhutale Svayang Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapanam Tikam Vandehang Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaisnavangscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parichana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Svitangscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrinda Vanishwari Rishabhanu Sutadevi Pranamami Hari Priye Vansha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Ebacha Patita Nang Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadhadar Srivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. Okay, so wonderful introduction. Srila Prabhupada, Guru Padma already explained that Prabhupada was reading this in the beginning when he was in New York. All by himself. It's a long tape. You can get it from DVT. It's a wonderful tape. Is it also on video? Everything? Okay. Okay. We can do questions a little bit later, if you don't mind, because there's a lot that we covered, and I would like to start from the beginning so that we remember a little bit. Can you remember that question? Because okay, so we started from. Thank you. Right, the complete hall. So anybody knows where that is from? Yeah. Right. Yeah, it's very. Huh. Purnam Adha Purnam Idam Purnat Purnam Udachate Purnasha Purnam Adaya Purnam Eva Vashishate. So it's very clear that Prabhupada, although he doesn't say it, that he's quoting from that and that he's taking it also from that purport. I'm not sure if it was already written at that time. I don't think so, actually. I think it was written after this. So of course, these mantras are very, very famous. So he knows already the mantra, and of course, his Guru Maharaj must have lectured on it. Because I think if you read it, it's a little bit like mathematical, a little bit cryptic, and it sounds to me a little bit like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj. But that you can see is parampara. But Prabhupada puts it in his own words, makes it very easy to understand. We'll just quickly go through that because it is a very, very important philosophical thing that we should understand. And once you understand this point, you will see your own incapability. Instead of being frustrated with the world, which is what we generally are. I mean, I'm also a conditioned soul, and I get frustrated. But if you understand this, then you'll see that actually everything is perfect. The only thing that is not perfect is my understanding of things. In other words, the only thing that is lacking is my Krishna consciousness. Bhaktisiddhanta used to say, the only thing that is lacking in the world is Krishna consciousness. Everything is there. Only thing lacking is Krishna consciousness. And that is based on this verse. So it's not that he's making these things up. He based it on this verse, and we'll explain it. So this phenomenal world or material world in which we are placed is also complete in itself. We discussed yesterday already the 24 elements. So I will not get into it now, although it would be good, but I think to stick to this point is more important. So we'll just read it. In itself, because the 24 elements of which this material universe is a temporary manifestation, according to Sankhya philosophy, are completely adjusted to produce complete resources. So the nature is completely made in such a way. Yeah, it starts from Parasha Shaktir Vivideva Sruyate. And it's also the paragraph before that, it says Kata Upanishad 2.2.13 Nitya Nityanam Chetanas Chetananam. So everything is completely adjusted to produce complete resources. And then it continues, which are necessary for the maintenance and subsistence of this universe. So what's going on is that Prabhupada used to say simple living or plain living, high thinking. Sometimes used to say simple living, high living, or high thinking, but I prefer plain living because it makes more sense, high thinking. The idea is that everything is there in nature. The sun is there, the water is there, the ocean is there. So, if we, as is said a little bit further, we should not crouch upon another one's possession. I think it was said. Right, yeah, it's on page 16. One should be intelligent enough to know that the Lord is the only proprietor. And one should accept only things which are set aside for him by the Lord as his quota for his maintenance. So that we'll get into later because Prabhupada gives the example of Arjuna. But the idea, the main point that we should take from this, which is another verse of Sri Upanishad. You know that verse? What is that? Jat Kinta. Jagatam kinta kincha jagatam sarvam, right? And then? Okay, because I think that is the specific sentence. That second sentence. What was that again? Could you repeat it one more time? Yeah, chena chak chena bungtita. Bungta means like bhoga, like possession. Chena chak chena bungtita. So you should only take what is set aside as your quota for your enjoyment. So that is also from Sri Upanishad. You can look it up later. I think it's verse number 2. Verse number 1? Okay. So you can look that up later. You should know these things. It's very important. So the idea is that if we just... If you read, for instance, Krishna book, Mother Gurumaya has read it a few times to us, you can read how simple people were living. And that is actually the standard that we should aspire for. This simple living with cow protection and churning the milk and all these things. And some people say it's not possible, but it's possible. It's possible. It's just that we have no experience with it. But that is actually, once we start doing that, then we can experience that that everything is complete. Prabhupada says, if you start chanting Hare Krishna, and you don't abuse the earth will automatically supply so many jewels and gold and so many stuff. Another example is, for instance, that in the old days, the idea is that the rivers, or for instance the Ganges, would overflood the land. And by overflooding the land, it would take all these minerals from the mountains And it would put them on the land, and by that making the land fertile. So by artificially, and now actually, because I'm from Holland, and now in Holland, they are always managing these floods. A few years ago, like 6-7 years, there was a big flood, and it became a huge disaster. And the Prince of Holland, he's actually an expert on this subject matter, and they came to the conclusion that they should just let the floods go on. That, so now they made the rivers in such a way that, that there is no houses around them, and when there is too much rain, then they just let it flood the land. So this is the natural way of things. And if, of course, if we don't pollute the rivers, then the rivers, they bring the sediments of the mountains and they put it on the land, and by that making the land very fertile. So by that example, you can see that the people in Holland, who are very, very expert in water management, they artificially tried to stop this water, and it didn't work. So the arrangement was already there, and they came to the conclusion that they should just keep that arrangement, and by that revelation, they managed the whole thing, and now it's much more better managed. So that's an example of this Om Purnamada Purnamidam, that everything is already perfect. And Prabhupada also says, which is important for our subject matter, how Krishna is acting in different potencies is explained in Bhagavad Gita. Parasya Shakti Viva Deva Shruyate. So these things are explained in Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita contains the complete knowledge of Vedic wisdom. I'm at the end of the first paragraph. The beginning, the complete whole, that's where we started. Page 15. So I'll just repeat what I just explained. There is complete facility for the small complete units, namely the living entities, that's us, to realize the complete, and all sorts of incompleteness are experienced due to incomplete knowledge of the complete. So in other words, due to our lack of Krishna consciousness, things are not properly managed. And therefore we experience all sorts of incompleteness. Like for instance, sometimes people, they buy a dog because they want to experience this love. No, il y a des gens, ils achètent un chien parce qu'il n'y a pas d'amour. So because they cannot put this love in Krishna where it is supposed to be, we probably explained that also, they put it into a dog. So instead of loving God, G-O-D, they love dog, D-O-G. So this is misplaced love, and it's due to the incompleteness of their experience, incomplete knowledge. And then therefore you can see how important this Bhagavad Gita is. Then Prabhupada goes on to explain about cow dung, and he says an important word. Who remembers that? Aparusha. Purusha means person, and aparusha means non-person. Like the Muslims, they say that God is not a person. This refers actually to this. But they cannot understand that God can be a spiritual person. And that is explained here. It's called apurusha. But it is not a normal person, like us, material. But he is apurusha, spiritual person. So Prabhupada explains that the shastra, it should be accepted, like this cow dung. There's no question of research, and it should be taken through the parampara, disciplic succession. So that is a very important point. And another important point that Prabhupada makes is that he says that Arjuna accepts everything without contradicting him. One is not allowed to accept one portion of Gita and not another. So these are the important points. And like I said, so it is apurusha. So Prabhupada used to say, especially when he was in New York, when he was challenged many times, he said, I am not perfect, but I'm repeating the words of the perfect. So that is based on what he's explaining here. Yeah, Prabhupada, he continues to explain this. He says, Vedic knowledge is not imparted by such defective living entities who have these four mistakes. but it was imparted by Lord Krishna. So that is the difference of this knowledge. Yeah, so then he goes on that because Krishna is the in charge, he's the Prapitamaha, the great grandfather, that's why we should take only what is set aside for us by Lord Krishna. Of course, that is a little bit difficult to understand, and therefore Prabhupada also gives the example of Arjuna, and that is why I need a spiritual master. Arjuna was confused, and then he surrendered in the second chapter. Sishasteham sadimam tvam prapanyam. Now I surrender unto you, please instruct me. And then Prabhupada says at the end, he said, Karishe vachanam tava. Now I will do what you say. So yeah, in the beginning, it is a little bit difficult to understand what is actually our quota. Generally in the beginning, we need a spiritual master. Okay, is that clear until now? Is there any questions on this? Okay. No, you should take a bath. You can take a bath with cowling, I guess, but that is not. But you know, generally you should just wash yourself, because the idea is that the germs, they get on your hand, and then basically everything gets contaminated almost immediately. Like if you have like a disease, like some germs, as soon as it touches you, you can immediately get sick. So, and in stool there's so many diseases, so you should immediately completely wash yourself. No, you should take full bath, actually. And you should get rid of your clothes. But, you know, I mean, these are very high standards. But that is at least what the Shastra is saying you should do. Okay, any other question? No? Okay. Do you already want to start the bhajan, or are you waiting for Krishna Das? I don't mind. You want to start? Okay. So we'll stop here. You can discuss it the rest tomorrow if you want. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.